good and morning, Christians. And the top brother, Elizabeth Garaway. So, good morning, good to see each and every one of you. It's a great joy to be with you, and so thankful for the privilege. Pastor, we're humbled to be with you, and thank you for this great opportunity. And so good to meet each and every one of you, and it's been a joy of fellowship that we've had so far. My heart has been stirred. God has been speaking to me. I've needed the first two messages, and I need the message that the Lord would have me preach now. I pray that God would speak to me, and God would convict me as I seek to be a vessel for Him. But before we get into the preaching of God's Word, my wife and I are going to sing a song. We can transition this microphone over and get that prepared. And we're looking forward to what God has in store here in just a moment. But this is a song my wife and I wrote together here about a year and a half ago. And so you want to walk with me. All right, this is a song my wife and I wrote together about a year and a half ago. It dovetails with the theme of the conference, and it's titled Reach the Lost. Reach the Lost. And while the choir was singing this morning, my wife leaned over and said, we should sing this. And so the Lord would have us to sing that here at this time. And we'll just see what the Lord has to share with you how the Lord has been stirring my heart, there are some principles and some truths that we find in this passage of Scripture that will be a platform, be a springboard into some things that God will have us to observe throughout His Word. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. What a convicting text. We see here the heart of God. The heart of God is to save souls. And not just some souls, but all souls. He would have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible also says He is not willing that any should perish. Now, one single person could die and go to hell. There is a doctrine that's floating around in churches, even preaching to Bible preaching churches, is the doctrine of Calvinism. It's a heresy. It's a lie. You can't find it in the Bible. Though men may take it to manipulate the Scripture to fit what they think, it is not the heart of God, and it's not doctrine from the Word of God. You can honestly take the Bible and make it say anything to fit your own goals and agendas, but it doesn't matter what we think or perceive, but rather what matters is what God says.
Yep.
That old-fashioned mindset. Let's live by it. The Bible says it. I believe it. Yep. The Bible says it. That settles it. And with an open heart, open up my eyes, and give me all wondrous things out of that law. God, You have law for me. You have word for me. You have truths for me and principles for me and convictions for me. And God, I do not want to filter what You have said through my opinion, but rather I want Your heart to be within mine. Help me to live my life and be guided and be governed by what You teach. Well, there's a Calvinistic doctrine out there that says that God's atonement, the blood that He shed on the cross, is limited. That some are predestined to be saved and go to heaven, and some are just predestined and lost and not go to hell. I don't know what kind of a God that is, but that's not our God. That's not the God of life, where it says you can go to heaven. You've made the cut. But I'm sorry, you missed out. And you've made it, but I couldn't die for you. My blood was not sufficient for you. Oh, but by the way, you can be saved. That's not our God. Someone would have said, well, try to destroy an election that you find in Scripture. An election is a voting process. You stop to think about it. God has voted for you to be saved. The devil has voted for you to be lost. And now you have to make the deciding vote. He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Not only that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I believe, as Christians and as churches, as preachers, as men and women of God, as young people, that our hearts should beat with the heartbeat of God and never cease and never stop, never be silent, never be still, until every single human being on planet Earth has had an opportunity to hear the gospel.
Yep.
Matthew chapter 9. The Bible says, but when He saw the multitudes. When? Moment of time. If we stop here just for a moment and ponder that, can you look back in your life when there was a moment when the reality of eternity struck you? As God is seeking to spiritually set the table for us, this will all make sense as we get into the message, but that gripped me. I circle that word when in my mind. When was it that my heart was stirred like God's heart was stirred? When was it that I was moved with compassion? That I was spiritually struck with what I saw and witnessed and it physically affected me? I'm concerned that we're not physically affected. Mentally, emotionally stirred by what's spiritually and eternally at stake. Every single human being will die and go to heaven or die and go to heaven. And God, behind for every single person that calls us, is now our responsibility, yes, beyond that, our privilege, to be able to go into the harvest fields. To answer this heart cry of God, to be a laborer that's going to live for Jesus Christ, no matter the cost, preaching the cross, going forward for God. Because there'll be a moment that it will be too late.
That's right.
And we do not want that to take place in our car wash.
Yep.
In our community.
Yep.
In our region, our state, where God has placed us, in our country, that we will claim it for Jesus Christ. Because we know that God wants the entirety of New Zealand saved.
Right.
So
amen.
We're going to roll up our sleeves and kick the trenches and get in the harvest field and see what God can do as we simply make ourselves available unto Him, desiring for Him to use us. We know it's not us that can do it. It's God that does the work. He gives the increase.
Right.
We must be available so that way the increase can become When was the moment? When God stirred your heart, when you were stirred by seeing the eye affecting the heart, has that stirring become still? Has it become normal? Is there still a stirring in your heart? Is there still a fire that burns down deep in the heart of your being? When was it? Has there been a moment? I think a lot of our young people, the reason they struggle with the future, they struggle with the will of God, is there's never been a time that they have seen. They've never seen as God sees. That you have been created for a purpose. That your life has potential. That there is a people that God wants you to reach.
Amen.
That before you came out of your mother's womb, Jeremiah 1 says, he says to Jeremiah, I don't think that's true for everyone that finds in the Bible. He doesn't give respect to persons and if it was sufficient for Jeremiah. I believe it's there for way of application of revival to us, that God would say to us to do, just as he came to Jeremiah. Before I formed in the belly, I knew thee. That's a special thing. Precious thing. When thou camest forth out of whom I sanctified thee, I set thee apart for a purpose. I have created you for a calling. And in the midst of that calling, there is a congregation, there is a generation, there is a nation that can be reached with the gospel. Trinity is
amen.
I pray that this week God will stir my heart. Even with that first message. God heard me. The conviction of that first message was this. I don't know if I'm doing it. I want to be more. I want to be more. And every single person in this room, we should function as live and live as if we're the only human being on the planet. With the gospel, reaching the entire world with the gospel. If everybody lived like that, it would completely change the culture and the spirit of our churches. Because we had a when moment. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep had no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. But the laborers are few. Bring even before the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's seek the Lord in prayer and jump further into the Word of God. Lord, we're grateful for this time. Thank you to these men, these women, these young people. Everyone who sacrificed their schedule to put you first. Lord, that we can meet with you and God, we desire for you to meet with us. Lord, our hearts are, I pray they are, they're prepared, they're tender, they're ready. We're eager to hear from heaven. Grant unto us a spirit of revival. Lord, renew, refresh, reignite our hearts. I pray that you'll stir us, Lord, but not just to be stirred or leave a meeting feeling good. Lord, that we would leave a meeting being challenged, being transformed, walking out the doors, even today, and through the week, God, just with that renewed spirit, that fire, that scissoration, that craving to be used of you, and craving to see what you can do in our lifetime. But God, I pray that you'll help us to realize the great need, to not leave our heads buried in the sand, but Lord, to realize that now more than ever, now is the time for us to be involved and engaged. We love you and thank you this time. Holy Ghost, please come. We ask for your anointing and your power. Please do a great work. Grant liberty. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people said.
Amen.
Would you journey with me in your Bibles and using this as a springboard, like I said, to journey with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 13, is what we're going to be in for the remainder of this service. Romans chapter number 13. I believe we see the same context. Similar truths in this passage of Scripture, Romans 13. And to be very transparent with you, and I pray this doesn't alarm you, but just in a state of preparation, of course, of just finding the Lord, letting the Holy Spirit lead as He so desires, this sermon was not on my radar this morning. It was not until the morning message that God stirred my heart to preach these truths. I pray this will help us today. Romans chapter number 13, notice verse number 11, the Bible says, and that, what are the next three words? Knowing the time. Knowing the time. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Can't you sense the urgency in this text? The intensity in this text? The desire for God to use us, and of course, back in Romans 13, verse number 11, we find those words, knowing the time. It's similar to what we found in the book of Matthew, our theme and our text for this week. And when he saw, there was a moment in which Christ became aware of the need. He was aware of his struggles. He was aware of his spiritual condition, of what was gripping those before him. I think it would do us well this morning to realize that now is the time, number one. It's time for us to be aware. Knowing the time, to not have our heads buried in sand. To think that, you know, peace, peace, when there is no peace, just like the prophets and the preachers of the Old Testament were guilty of, I'm just putting out a pacified message to please people and tickle the back of ears and things, but rather to go beyond that and for God to take the scales off of our eyes and our hearts and our minds and to be seen as God sees it. There is a nation dying and going to hell.
Yep.
There are souls that are perishing.
Yep.
There are families that are being ruined. There's sin that's running rampant. And that see, open your eyes, see. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, where there is no vision, you need to have a vision, people perish. The book of Lamentations references, my eye affecteth my heart. Lamentations 3:51. To be aware of what's going on. I don't know what the spiritual conditions are like here in New Zealand, but from what I've heard from some, that there is the true pandemic is the vastness of the alcohol and the drugs and even the marijuana and people that are rejecting God. My heart was stirred. I've never heard your national anthem. Wow, that is a godly hymn. It's a prayer. It's a hymn of the Lord. Our national anthem in America. I mean, just, you know, a few times God has referenced it. And I love our national anthem. And from our national anthem, written by Francis Scott Key, during the War of 1812, he wrote those words, in God is our trust. And from that became our motto. And to be able to see how that he was encapsulating the spirit of what gripped America. And of course, America, we have gripped it. We have rejected God. We have forsaken God. We have forgotten God in our culture in America, and I don't know what it's like here in New Zealand, but to stop and think about a national anthem such as that, a prayer, a plea, to where it may be now.
Yep.
Could it be that one of us?
Yep.
Yeah.
And to not leave our heads buried in the sand. To not go on in spiritual oblivion, if you will, and it's, oh, it is what it is, you know, it's just so hard to witness today, and it's just so hard to reach people, and, you know, people don't really want the gospel tracts anymore. When in Scripture is that justification to stop?
Yep.
If anything, as they mount up their intensity, it should cause the church
right.
to increase in their urgency.
That's right.
Because we know that they're rejected. We realize that they're saying no to God, that this is endangering their soul for damnation, and
right.
hellfire will go burn with weeping and gnashing of teeth for 100 million years. It's just the first moment of eternity. We see what that's saying.
Yep.
We're aware of what the cost is, and we will go to any length necessary to reach them before it's too late. This is the choir saying. It's time to be aware. Our eyes affect our hearts. Sometimes, through awareness, people can get discouraged. You watch the news, you listen to the news, you read the news, and you hear what's going on, and sometimes you just say, oh man, this is too far gone. No. Why do we say no? Not because of what we think. Not because of what we're trying to arouse within us through encouragement and fellowship, but rather because of what God says in the Bible.
Yep.
Romans 5, where sin abounded, grace did much more about
it. Yep.
And even though there's a tidal wave of evil and wickedness and carnality and all sorts of defilement as Satan is seeking to destroy everything we hold dear, whether it's our political liberties, and the gospel shutting down churches, destroying young people and futures and marriages and families. All of these things, understand that there is a grace that is sufficient. There is a God that is capable and sufficient. And now is the time for us to be aware, knowing the time. Now is not the time for us to play games.
Yep, that's right.
Now is not the time. No longer we have the luxury of being apathetic anymore. Now we must be engaged.
Yep.
We must be engaged. And that point in time, that now, Romans 13, 11 says, not when it's comfortable, not when it's conducive or convenient. Now. God is trying to call you and me now. Well, I'll get around to it, preacher. That's not the urgency of this text. How many people, we see it as God sees it. We have that awareness that it will stir us to not sit idly by, to not be silent, to let another day slip or pass in which we will not be engaged in it at all, but rather it will stir our hearts to do more than ever before. That now is high time. High time. It's talking about increasing, abounding, doing more and not less. Doesn't Romans or Hebrews 10 talk about that? Hebrews 10, 27, something around there, that we should be assembling, evangelizing, involved, all these things, provoking one another and the love of good works, even so much more as we see the day approaching. That's what Romans 13, 11 is talking about as well. Now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation here than when we will be. Right now, we are closer to the return of Jesus Christ than when we were or where we were yesterday. A year ago. With all the scheduling and all the planning, we're going to try to get things done decently in order. We've got our calendar and we're going to do all this stuff. And listen, we ought to be proactive, have a vision, have a desire, have a drive to go forward. But understand this, that as you were scheduling and seeking and doing things last year, praise God for your heart behind it, but there should be more heart in it. Year later.
Yeah, amen.
Because we don't know when the trumpet's going to sound. It could happen at any moment. I think it was at your church on Sunday morning that I referenced this. In the midst of the singing. I said, I believe that there's going to be different responses when it comes to the return of Christ. Something that just gripped me about a week and a half ago, my own personal emotions. Seeking the Lord, and God spoke my heart, broke my heart. When the Lord comes back, and if He does come back in our lifetime, what a privilege that will be. To be that generation that hears the trumpet sound. That we would be the ones? Wow. But maybe our response would be this. As the day approaches and if the day comes in our lifetime, the salvation is here and it happens, praise God, I pray that all of us in this room that there will be a heart of rejoicing, a spirit of rejoicing. The, oh yes, this is it. That was the trumpet. There is exhilaration, there is thrill, there is great joy. You can't wait. But I'm concerned that others and some may approach it and embrace it with a spirit, a heart of reservation. Not oh yes, but saying oh no. No, 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 I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. There was still things that needed to be done, people that needed. Spirit of reservation, heart of reservation. I pray that that's not the case among us today. And that God will use the warning message that we heard from the rainbows, for the disciples about being faithful laborer. That God will use these things to stir our hearts and to weep, to say, I want to be able to approach the return of Christ with a spirit of rejoicing. I have not dragged my feet. I have not been sleeping on the job. I was not inactive or idle, but I was engaged doing what God had me to do, and I did what God had me to do. I did it. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I know it wasn't me, but it was Jesus in me and through me. I can't do it, but He can. And God, how I do it, oh God, I want to do it with me. I want to do it to the maximum of my life. Full proof of that ministry that God has given to the world. That privilege to serve Him and liberate and reach souls. Could it be that we'll be gripped
the heart of reservation. Oh no. Some. A heart of regret. That realization of eternity, and then declaring in that moment, oh, what have I done? What have I done with my life?
Myself.
For you individually, for me individually. I can't speak for the others. I don't know why the laborers are few. But that should not be an excuse for me to not join the fight. To be on the front lines, to be engaged in the harvest field, to reach a lost and dying world. Hey, even though maybe you can come before us and could be against us, and we'll get more of that this week, Lord willing. But it's time to be awake. Others may be sleeping, but don't let others sleeping be an excuse for you to sleep as well.
Yep.
May the Lord help us to be awake. To be awake. When we're asleep, we develop an insensitivity to impressions. When we're asleep, we become incoherent. Have you ever talked to somebody as they were sleeping? Yeah, and the kangaroo was wearing a sweater and he was eating ice cream on a spaceship. What is that? Early, you know. Sometimes people think they're awake. I have one of our daughters, Alyssa. We've got four kiddos and one on the way. And two boys and two girls. Alyssa, she's a sleepwalker. I'll be working maybe 11 o'clock at night or something a little later. And all of a sudden I hear a door open, you know, and things. And she comes walking out. And she is having a conversation with me. But next morning she didn't. She doesn't remember what she said. She never remembered the experience. Incoherent. Babbling, mumbling, saying things. The appearance of being active and engaged, but it makes no sense. I'm concerned that we have churches represented in this room. That we are putting forth the appearance of being engaged and active. But from the world's perspective, lost people's perspective, it's babbling. It makes no sense. It's incoherent. What are you saying? Jesus? Turn, salvation, whatever. I don't know. They just wave us off and move on in their perishing flight, as was heard preached in the first service. I don't want to be incoherent. I want people to hear something clear from my lips and my heart to theirs. I do not want to battle. And if I'm asleep spiritually, that is how a lost soul, the natural man that desires not the things of God, will be perceiving our, air quote, witness for Christ. Yeah. We need to be awake.
Yep.
It's time to be awake. Time to be awake.
Amen.
We develop an insensitivity to impressions. We become coherent. Obviously, the third thought is just line items. I don't know how you're taking notes, but just thoughts here. We are rendered inactive. We are rendered inactive. You're asleep. You don't have a shovel in your hand. You're not digging a ditch. You're not on the front lines. You're inactive. And this dovetails with this third main thought that God will lead us to in a moment. When we're inactive, we're weak. You know, somebody's sleeping. Let me go ahead and get my brother. All right, act like you're sleeping. I'm going to lift your arm in the air. All right, when you're asleep, most of the time, you take it. What happens? There may be some of you looking and say, it's like the hydraulic door, but still, what's happening? They're weak, they can't do nothing. Pretend like you're sleeping again. Ain't gonna happen. He's worthless. He ain't gonna do nothing. Why? Because he's asleep. This may sound silly, but I don't know what it is I'm thinking on you. Is it good? Does everybody think that I should? What is this? You just got one of those faces. This is powerful to think about the application of these things that God has designed. A natural thing is true. We don't know it to be true. The devil wants the church to be weak and worthless. So that way, as he seeks to fight, he will have an opponent that is not able to stand up and defend eternity. The devil knows that it's harvest time. So he's going to try to get the church to sleep on. He knows that we're at war. He understands the power and potential of the church, a body of believers unified in Christ, undivided, going forward. He understands the potency of it, and he wants to do anything he can to get the church to not be a force to be reckoned with. A force that's so powerful as they are indwelt by the presence of God and anointed by the power of God. The devil's time will end, but you understand Jesus always gives us a promise that as we seek to go forward and stand and stay true, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and so he's going to try to get the church to sleep.
Awake to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. God is saying, listen, I'm embarrassed how you've been conducting yourself and living your life. But at the same time, when I read 1 Corinthians 15:34, not only am I convicted, I'm also encouraged. You know why? God cares about me. God cares about our churches, but he's trying to get us to be awake again. If God didn't care, he'd let us sleep on. He said, no, come on, I want you to sleep on the job. Go. There's a job that needs to be done. How long do you need to get the job done? Wow. That's like going to the sale. Oh, God, you want to use me? Yes, I'm going to use you. Come on. Praise the Lord. He brings conviction and it's encouragement. Yeah. I'm ashamed of how you live your life. I know you can't get going to a time machine and change the past, but you've got today, son. You've got tomorrow, church. You've got next year. You've got a decade ahead. You've got till the trumpet sounds. Come on! Time to be awake.
Amen.
Time to be awake. For some of the knowledge of God, I speak this, he says, to your shame. Can you bring up Proverbs 10:15? Proverbs 10:15. Excuse me, 10:5. 10:5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. To be awake, it's time to be awake. What brings sleep? This just hit me. What brings sleep? Idleness brings sleep. I think that'd be true. Idleness. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting around. Could it be our churches are falling asleep because we're not doing something? Pastor, let's get our people busy. I know we can work our, you can fall asleep while you're busy while you're working, all right? but at least let's get them on their feet. Church, as pastors seek to stir you and those that maybe represent those in line, as God speaks to you, hey, support your pastor in being busy. Be there. Be a part. Sleeping comes through idleness. You know what also hit me? Sleeping comes through exhaustion. I've worked so hard that I'm just tired. I just can't keep my eyes open. The Lord burden me about this. We might be preaching more on that this week. Please, if you can't be here, especially Saturday, the Lord burden my heart about, especially not being weary about it. Sleeping comes through idleness, it comes through exhaustion. Sleeping comes through a loss of interest. I'm just not into it anymore. I'm trying to stay awake. But I've lost my interest for those being said or what's being done. I'm not using this as a jab about people falling asleep in church, but when they do fall asleep in church, it's revealing that they're sleeping as a result of one of the things. They're idle, they're just sitting down. Or you work a long day and you're just exhausted. You know, and praise God for men that come straight from work to church. Amen. My dad had a similar testimony. Sometimes he's like, son, I'm not going to fall asleep in church. I'm going to stand in the back of the auditorium so I don't fall asleep. That's a bad testimony if I fall asleep in church. Thank God for a father like that. Amen. Stand in the back of the room. All right, I'm going to stand here so that way I can pay attention. Why? Because I need this. I'm not here to check something off the list. God forbid. I need this preaching. I need this spiritual sustenance to serve me, to establish me more, to keep on keeping on. Sometimes sleeping comes with a loss and a lack of interest. Pastors, how are you when I'm not talking about a sales pitch? Please don't misunderstand. It's not about presentation, it's about the power of God, the principles of God's Word. Our dear brother this morning was saying something about that, and I thought of Jonathan Edwards, who read his notes in a monotone, slightly high-pitched voice, sent it in the hands of an angry God, and God used that literally to start one of the sparks of the Great Awakening. It wasn't about presentation. He was reading his sermon notes, and the Spirit of God came in. And God doing a work where people were holding on the back of chairs so their numbers were white, because they were underneath such deep-seated conviction as a guy was reading a sermon in a monotone voice, slightly high-pitched because he was nervous. Some may even gripped the posts that were in the room because they thought the very floor underneath them was going to open up, and some of them said, "Hell, that's how God was on." Not about presentation, but the power of God. Principles of God's word, but a lack of interest. How are we putting this before our people? How are we talking to one another about it?
Yeah, we got to go soul winning.
Yeah, you know, this world has got to be reached. I guess we'll go ahead and go do it. Lack of interest. We will fall asleep. It's only a matter of time before, if our heart's not in it, our hand will not be in it either. Time to be awake. It's high time. Time to be aware. Time to be aware. Number three, lastly, if you go back to Romans 13, it's time to be active. All of these things dovetail together. This is not a deep message. This is just simple truths. Simple truths. I pray that God will use this, these simple truths. Life online precepts upon precepts of the week. To strengthen us, stir us, establish us, go on, go forward. Stay the course. Romans 13, notice verse number 12. Verse number 12. The Bible says the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore, there's a determination, there's a decision being made. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as of the day. Not of light, shaming, drunkenness, not of chambering, and wantonness, not of strife, and envy, but putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This is all action. Let us. Teamwork. Amen. We got to do this thing together. We need each other. Let's go forward. Active, 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 active. Hey, I was once asleep. God, you convicted me of this. I'm now awake. What does that symbolize? Civilizes, I'm going to get back at it. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to continue with what I have been doing. There was a season where I stopped. I backslid. I was not bold. My heart was a little burned for God. But God has exposed this, and thank the Lord for His exposing work. God wants to use me. It's time to be active. Actively continue. Keep that which is committed by trust. But continue now the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Listen, don't stop and don't quit. You keep on keeping on. Maybe you're guilty as a person. I've been guilty, but I know I am daily. We can struggle with this, but we don't be aware and awake, active as we ought to be. I believe it's a daily thing that we ought to acknowledge, not ignore, acknowledge, and say, God, do a work in my heart to be who you'd have me to be for thy glory.
Amen.
Maybe as a church, you haven't been standing after it. Don't let the devil use that as a bat to keep you down. Rise up. Say, oh God, help me. I want to continue.
Amen.
I still have breath in my body. And as long as I got breath in my body, there's a purpose for my life.
Yep.
Help me to stay faithful and continue.
Yep.
It's time to be active.
Yep.
Not like it's time to be active. Hey, what was true to be active in? Actively continue. Also, this thought, actively commit. Commit your heart, your mind, your life unto what the Lord will have you do. Notice verse number 12, very quickly in the conclusion here. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Hey, let's commit to get right with God. We heard from this solid preach about repentance, and it's so true. God wants to use people that are clean, sanctified, meet for the master of Jesus, prepared for every good work. God will not use his dirty vessel. We need to get right with God. Cast off the works of darkness. Casting something off is not a cheap thing. Get up and get it off, oh God. Have mercy on me. I can't believe that was on my body. Just like if I took a tarantula spider and put it on your shoulder, ma'am, how would you respond to that? Aw, how cute. That poisonous mouth is just keep pucker up, buttercup. Actively commit to get right with God. Because I want to be a vessel that God can use.
Amen.
People are dying going to hell. How would the Spirit of God be able to use me to help reach them before it's too late? When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was aware, moved, he was awake, he was stirred. Of course, then he said, he spoke, and
He called his disciples, and we can see the pattern even there in our text of Matthew, the theme, Matthew 9, even chapter number 10, this similar progression as we find naturally occurring here in the Word of God. In Romans 13, verses 11 out of 14, let us, hey, time to be active, to continue. Don't sleep, get away, go on. Hey, actively commit to get right with God. Let us cast all the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Why are we putting on armor? Because it's cool to walk around in. No, it's not. It's very hot. Very uncomfortable. Why do you got armor on with light? Why do we have armor on? To charge the gates of hell and see victory, spiritual conquest. The places in our community, visualize it above every single home and residence and apartment building. There is an ensign, there's a flag that's flying invisibly. It's either the flag of Zion or the flag of hell. And every place needs victory that doesn't know the Lord as their person.
Yep.
So we're actively committed to get right with God. Committed to get ready. I've got the armor on. I'm ready to be used with God. I want God to use me. I'm not going to be caught flat-footed or unprepared. Armor on symbolizes a readiness. I'm ready. Whenever. Fight for a lost soul is at stake. Be instant. In season or not a season. Yes, it was for Timothy, but it's for all of us. If it wasn't, God wouldn't put it in the Bible. Be prepared. Be ready. Notice, hey, actively commit to get right with God. To get ready to be used with God. Actively commit to get real. Real. This is so important. You can spend a whole hour here when we have just a minute left. Notice in verse number 13, and let us walk honestly as in the day. Hey, know how you are in front of everybody else. Be that way all the time. Be real. There's one thing that American churches need, and it's a revival of authenticity. Be authentic. Be real. Don't put in a false front, hypocrisy, a facade, a form of godliness. Be real. Hey, let's get actively committed to get real with God. We really want to see God use us, and so we will be genuine, and we're going to allow that genuineness and that desire to use with God to be expressed to one another, because it's a heart craving that cannot be contained. Verse number 14 is the most important in our call. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to be active, to actively clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. Actively clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the flesh. Don't leave a back door open, some secret compartment open for the flesh and the lust of this world. And finally, all these things, lust of the eyes, that creep in and contaminate you and destroy you and keep you back from being used of God. But actively clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. Every single morning when you get up, hey, we're casting off the works of darkness. Can you help me put those sleeves in the right way? All right, I made a mess of that. And I didn't even know I was going to do that, but I did it anyway. You know, never know what will happen when you preach it. But anyway, go ahead, there's one sleeve, let's go ahead and do the other one. And now, so when people see me, sure, they may see me, but I don't want them to see me, I want them to see Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be difficult here. But often New Zealand and New Zealand and Australia does not need you. You are simply but a vessel, a voice that God uses for His work.
Yep.
We'll get more into that this week because God allows. It doesn't need to know the name of your church. New Zealand and lost souls need Jesus.
Yep. Amen.
May our churches and our lives be a hearing the truth place. They see Jesus. And they say, wow, that person has something that I don't have. I need that too. So that they can come to a personal knowledge, a personal acceptance of Christ as their Savior. There's a lot to take in this morning, isn't there? We're just going to go ahead and, as abrupt as we start our message, we're going to abruptly end it. There's no long-winded conclusion here. We've preached what needs to be preached. And now it's time for us to directly seek the Lord as He has spoken to us. It's about as we close, we're going to have a time of invitation. Now is the time. Now is the time. Aware, awake, and active. Various thoughts of application throughout all of this.
Lord, we need you. That's why we're here. We're gathering together. We desire for your Spirit to manifest. We desire an outpouring, O God, of heaven. Please, sir. Burn with us a desire, a realization, an understanding, God. There's a need. And now is the time. I pray that as we begin this week, we'll take every single message to heart. Actively look for ways for things to be applied in our lives. Mold us more than I am. Transform us. God, please, I thank you. Ignite sparks. Cause the fire in our hearts to burn bigger and brighter, that these fires would spread across New Zealand. You're working, Lord. You're working. Into Australia. Thank you, Lord, for the urgency of this text. Help us to arise in the occasion, as only you can help us to do it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and leaning around as the piano will softly play in their moments. I wonder if there's one thing that I did say for the year away. God has spoken to my heart. I needed this. I needed this message. Some of the other messages, I needed this. God has just dealt with me. It's time for me to be aware. I am just bubbling through life and an oblivion, and God is just. He's opened my eyes, and I needed this, and I thank God that He's made me aware. Now is the time. That's you. Would you raise your hand? I hope your head is heavy today. God bless you. All across the room, many hands. God bless you. Between you and the Lord, for the getaway, I have not been awake. Maybe you're like one lady who spoke to me in West Virginia. Says, for the getaway, I'm not asleep, but I've been dozing. I'm dozing. I'm in and out of awareness. The gear where God's looking, I've been sleeping, and God is wants me to wake up, and I want to be awake. God has dealt with me. God spoke to my heart. What does that mean? That's a hard question to ask. It's a hard question to answer. Would you raise your hand? God spoke to you all across the room. Many hands. God bless you. For the gear where I want to be active. I want to be engaged. I want God to use me. God spoke to my heart. Now more than ever, I want to be involved and make a difference for eternity. That's me. Would you raise your hand? That's you. That's you. Would you stand at your feet? Let's seek the Lord. We're to make an altar here on the front. Would you come and do business with God as the Lord has led you? Father, help us now as we seek your face in this precious time. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you come even now as the instrument plays? Would you bend and express your heart to the Lord? Seek him while he may be found. Do business with God. Now is the time that God wants to use you. God wants to use you. You seek the Lord. Across the room. The Spirit of prayer.
I surrender. We are so blessed of that meditation, that this is so far, and that is the beginning of our conference, and we look forward for more of that kind in the coming days. And even tonight, Brother King and Yahweh will gather all the old and men and the boys in one room, gathering here or gathered out of the back. And Sister Judy and Yahweh also will look after the ladies and the girls. So we will have a sleep session at 12 o'clock this afternoon. And let's go to your place of bedtime. And in the evening, we will start our, we will provide dinner here. We will have dinner, and dinner will start at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So be here at 5, and the kitchen will be closed by 6, because we are going to start our service for the evening at 6 o'clock. And we will have two speakers tonight, Brother Garaway and Pastor Norris Kilcher. We have speakers, and also tomorrow at the same time as today, we'll start at 9:30, but the meeting will be open by 8:30. So you can come here early to set up a place, and I hope that you will have that problem tomorrow, but we have some Sunday this morning. And again, Pastor Gustavo will be preaching the first message, and the second message will be Pastor Dan Friedman. And I think Brother Felix also will be preaching tomorrow. Oh, no, I think somewhere else. But you have one tomorrow. You have two today. So. Alright. And the second thing is usually the evening. And Saturday we have Brother Felix and also Pastor Norris Rector to that. Now conclude our conference. Alright? So please be grateful for this, and then the something that we are spoken in revival. That is really also a spoken in revival. That's really weak for our church, but I trust this is very helpful for us. And very, you know, maybe tired of our body, but you know, strength to our spirit or soul that the Lord will give us. So before we also speak about we will give offering. We will take our offering this morning.